Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The Bible begins in a garden, but it culminates in a city. The book of Genesis opens onto a garden. Eden is beautiful and bountiful. Enormous banana leaves as large as elephant's ears. Passion flowers in electric blue. Great yellow trumpet flowers. Dahlias as large as dinner plates in shimmering hues of peach and lilac, apricot and tangerine. The Bible opens into a splendid, riotous, perfect garden of God's own planting. You could be forgiven, therefore, if you supposed that the destiny of humanity might entail a return to a garden paradise, something like the Elysian fields of the Greeks, or the green pastures of the 23rd Psalm, or even a Garden of Eden reprised. Instead, in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the final scene of the final chapter, the denouement, opens into a city, an immense, gleaming, teeming, urban metropolis, the holy city, the New Jerusalem, a city, moreover, that is large enough, roomy enough, generous enough to accommodate whole nations and peoples. The Bible begins in a garden, but it culminates in a city, and the life of Jesus follows a like trajectory. He was born in Bethlehem, a relative garden 2,000 years ago, and yet his entire three-year ministry is one long, twisting, winding, determined pilgrimage moving inexorably toward the city, toward Jerusalem. And today, Palm Sunday, is the day Jesus finally arrives, the day he enters the city. The city toward which he has so long been heading, the city that is for Jesus both destiny and destination. It is in the city, not out in some remote countryside, not in a rustic, unpopulated expanse, not in a friendly village or town. It is in the city that Jesus stages a little street theater. He will mount a donkey, his feet reaching to the ground, his followers lining the road, waving palm branches, spreading cloaks, the crowds shouting and proclaiming, hear this, blessed is this one who comes in the name of God. And with this act, this theatrical entry into the city, into the seat of power, Jesus declares to Rome and Caesar, to the powers and principalities of the world, he announces to the mighty empire of Rome and to the mighty Caesar that there is another power, a greater power than theirs, indeed a sublime power that deserves and commands our allegiance. Palm Sunday is the day, Jerusalem is the place that Jesus and his followers declare their allegiance not to the state, not to any potentate, not to any human ruler, but to God. Jesus chooses carefully, even craftily, the timing of this declaration. He chooses Passover, a holiday. The city is swollen with visitors, hailing from all over the world. Every room rented, every lane jammed, every bazaar swarming with pilgrims. It's as if the whole exotic world has come to Jerusalem. The atmosphere sizzles and pulses. Palm Sunday is the day and the city is the place. The followers of Jesus shout in public that they belong to God and not to Caesar, which in their case, nothing less than an act of sedition. This is the day and this is the place that Jesus and his followers announce and proclaim that they do homage not to the Pax Romana, and an uneasy peace achieved and held by coercive force. No, they do homage to Pax Christi, a peace to which we are invited and never coerced, a peace which emanates from the very heart of God. And that's not all. After Jesus' death, it is in the city that his followers gather. They are in the city when the Spirit descends upon them. It is, in fact, in the city that the Christian church is born on the day of Pentecost. And the most telling expression of the church's urban birth, the moment that men and women speaking different languages, hailing from different nations, understand each other, comprehend each other. And maybe church, that is God's very best dream for us. That in coming together in a city like this, on a holiday like this, in rubbing shoulders, in finding ourselves in close proximity to stranger and alien, that we have maybe a better chance of understanding each other. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
This biblical trajectory, this trajectory from garden to city, has me wondering. Has me wondering about a God who calls and lures and woos and entices us into cities. A God who cajoles us into cities for more than the museums and the theater, more than the art and the architecture, more than the restaurants and the shopping, more even than a little road race, a little competition. There's something more going on. Maybe God calls us into cities and cajoles us together to show off the splendid, riotous diversity of the human family, the family of God's own creating. Maybe God calls us together into cities like this that we might enjoy the sound of different tongues and delight in the variety of human hues. Maybe God calls us together just for the sheer joy, for once, of watching us all get on together, get along together, delight in each other's good company. Maybe, I don't know, but here's what I do know. I know this, that despite the appeal to the imagination of bucolic settings conjured by Elysian fields and green pastures or a garden paradise reprised, Christian faith claims that we realize our destiny not in isolation, but in interdependence. Not in solitude, but in community. Not in homogeneity, but in variety. Not in tribalism, but in multiculturalism. Not in bucolic retreat, but in civic engagement. Not in solo endeavor, but in symphonic and symbiotic expression. And not finally in a garden, but in a city. And it is not lost on me, and it is probably not lost on you, that the Boston Marathon shares a similar trajectory. It begins in a relative garden in Hopkinton, and winds and wends its way over hill and dale, amen, until it concludes, until its denouement in the streets of a city. And so I wonder, and so I hope, that what we are doing here this weekend makes glad the heart of God. Because just look at you. You are so beautiful. Turn to somebody, the person next to you, look them in the eye, and you in the chapel, and you by live stream at home, look somebody in the eye and say to them, you are so beautiful. You are so beautiful. You hail from across the expanse of God's beautiful earth. You embody the splendid, riotous diversity of the human family, a diversity of God's own creating. Now, some of us are here to run. Amen?
Amen.
And some of us are here to cheer. Amen.
Amen.
And some of us are just stupefied at the prospect of anyone running 26.2 miles. Amen.
Amen.
So whether athlete, cheerleader, or stupefied, there is something we can all do together in this city on this holiday weekend. There is something that we can do together from this moment until you all return home. We can practice being together, practice embodying together the splendid, riotous diversity of the human family. And if we can manage that on this Palm Sunday, in this city, this weekend, we will do something very, very special. We will make glad the heart of God. Amen.